Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We made it again. Here in the penultimate workday of the week, arrived at the fourth and final hour of the Bobby Mack Show with yours truly, the attack dog of the right. Yep, it's the bonus hour. You know what we do. Let's do it. Ingles Advantage Talk Line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning Text Line number, 71307. My email address, very simply, bob@1063word.com. Great to have you along. The latest updates, of course, on Hurricane Florence as we continue with our Operation Hurricane Florence watch, indicating that Sunday morning is when the heaviest rainfall is anticipated to begin, if the remnants of Florence, and it should be a tropical depression by that point, a strong low-pressure system arriving here in the upstate. 4 to 6 inches of rain for us here in the upstate. For you folks in western North Carolina, the news is not very good at all. Ray Miller from our Severe Weather Center saying you could see as much as 6 to 9 inches of rain. And I know on top of what already happened in May with the heavy rainfall and the flooding that resulted up there, this is not the news you want to hear. So forewarned, as they say, is forearmed. And then the heaviest rainfall headed in a northeasterly direction as the storm turns back towards Charlotte. They are anticipating perhaps as much as 10 inches of rain there. Speaking of hurricanes, you may have heard in the news today, there is a dust-up created by the left over what happened in Puerto Rico when Hurricane Maria came through there. Democrats and the media have been pounding President Trump over the past couple of days, using Hurricane Florence as the springboard for the meme that they are promoting over the president's alleged insensitivity to deaths in Puerto Rico last year from Hurricane Maria. Well, this morning, the president pushed back on Twitter, alleging the Democrats had inflated the death toll in order to make me look as bad as possible. The Democrats have been saying that as many as 3,000 people died in Puerto Rico because of the president's lack of response to Hurricane Maria there. And, you know, the usual drivel that they're pushing, that he did that because Puerto Rico occupied by people of color and he's a racist and he didn't care, so he just let him die. Well, that led to more criticism after the president tweeted this morning with the Associated Press accusing the president of making claims, quote, without evidence. But Trump is correct. According to Breitbart, his opponents, including the media, have been straining for more than a year to turn Hurricane Maria into the president's version of Katrina, the devastating 2005 storm that prompted criticism of President Bush and his response, even though state and local authorities were the ones that blew it down there and foreshadowed a Democrat takeover of Congress in 2006. Leading the charge, as you might expect, was the Collusion News Network, CNN, which made a special effort to link Hurricane Maria in 2017 to Katrina in 2005 and made a temporary media sensation of the mayor of San Juan, Carmen Yulín Cruz, who accused the Trump administration of neglect. However, the media's effort at the time was frustrated by a number of factors. First of all, experts praise the federal government's response to Maria, which posed special challenges because Puerto Rico is, of course, so far from the mainland U.S. Second, the governor of Puerto Rico, Ricardo Rossello himself, praised the federal government's response, telling Fox News in September of last year, the president and the administration, every time we've asked them to execute, they've executed quickly. And third, of course, Puerto Rico was a disaster waiting to happen, was already a disaster before the hurricane hit, thanks to mismanagement by the territorial government that led to a debt crisis in recent years. By the way, Mayor Cruz herself reportedly is under FBI investigation for corruption. However, Trump's critics did not give up, as they never do. Over the past several months, they've attempted to cite several new studies, creating new estimates of the real death toll of Hurricane Maria. And what is this real death toll based on? Is it based on actual death counts? No. It is based on statistical models. Mm-hmm. Many studies addressed a real concern that the Puerto Rican government lacked the competence to do an accurate death count, but much of the media hype around the results clearly motivated by an attempt to damage President Trump and his administration. The Washington Post noted just some of the studies as of June of this year. The New York Times calculated 1,052 deaths through October. The Center for Investigative Reporting, 985. University of Puerto Rico professors calculated 822. Penn State professors calculated excess deaths of about 500. A Latino USA analysis using updated data from Puerto Rico's Department of Health calculated 1,194 excess deaths. The Post noted the new estimates hovered around the 1,000 mark. So where did this 3,000 who died in Maria come from? Well, in June, a Harvard study published in the New England Journal of Medicine estimated the number of deaths at 4,645. By the way, the official figure is 64. The researchers had conducted a survey, and they extrapolated the results, which is a pretty sloppy methodology. The number was highly inflammatory. Puerto Rican opponents of the president cited it to accuse him of genocide. Much of the media hyped the claims. The caption that accompanied one of the photographs said, Hurricane Maria, which pummeled Puerto Rico, likely responsible for the deaths of more than 4,600 people, some 70 times more than official estimates. Even the WAPO, Washington Post, was skeptical of that absurdly high estimate. The media reported the new estimates as if they were an actual confirmed death toll, with CNN taking care to note the new number was released near the anniversary of Katrina. The AP reported earlier this week 3,000 people died in Puerto Rico in Hurricane Maria, as if it were a proven fact, not indicating that the number was simply one estimate among many and that its evidence was a controversial statistical model. Then today, the Associated Press, with more than a little bit of chutzpah, accused the president of stating without evidence that the Puerto Rico hurricane death count is a plot by Democrats to make him look bad. Well, they failed to point out in that same AP story that all of the stories they have run that 3,000 people died in Puerto Rico are also without evidence. Other than, of course, some statistical model that they fed into a computer at Harvard and at Washington University in St. Louis. So take your pick. As for me, I think the official death count of 64 is probably much more realistic than any statistical model any pinhead at some ivory tower of academia can come up with a computer model. Quarter after six here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here and then be right back with more as we cruise on during our Operation Hurricane Florence watch here on WORD. Welcome back. 620 here on the Bobby Mac Show. In on my text line, 71307. Bobby, hard to believe that Washington, D.C. hasn't one set of you-know-what among the Republican Party allowing the left to do these things to our country and our president. Yeah. I know. They just said, yeah, that's okay. Bobby, as Rush said today, these weather people are fascinating. They stand out on camera in the pouring wind and rain and tell you how hard it's going to blow wind and rain. I need that job. Mike Seidel still doing that, isn't he? Along with, what's his name? You know, the,
Jim.
Yeah, Jim Cantore. Yeah. Seidel, he used to work at Channel 7, I believe. Seidel did back in the day, I think. Bobby, I'm sick and tired of these make-it-up-as-you-go lying Democrats. Yeah, you and me both. Bobby, a satellite with the energy to make a hurricane. We really do have the most powerful military in the world. You wonder, with these Harvard and their study, and Washington University in St. Louis with their study about how many people really died. These are hardcore lefties these are pinheads that are in these ivory towers of academia. Are they starting to see blowback from this stuff, or are people starting to get it? Here is a leading indicator, perhaps. Evergreen State College, their enrollment plummeted after fallout from their controversial day of absence. That was in May 2017, when all white people were asked to leave the campus. So the answer to the racial progressives' answer to the problems of racial division in this country is segregation? That's their answer? The publicly funded college committed to, wait for it, social justice. Evergreen State became the poster child of a campus overrun by hyper-political correctness when students shut down the campus and shouted down then-evolutionary biology professor Brett Weinstein for merely questioning the event, kicking white people off campus. Weinstein, who describes himself as, quote, deeply progressive, ultimately lost his job and was labeled a racist and a white supremacist. Don't you love it when the left eats their own? Although just estimates, a representative from Evergreen said they would expect around 350 freshmen this fall, with a total of 3,000 to 3,100 total enrollment, both of which do represent significant decreases as compared to before the unrest in 2017. It's a catastrophic drop, but I'm hoping we'll recover, said Evergreen professor Mike Peros to Fox News. Advocacy and activism, rather than the pursuit of truth and knowledge, is being promoted as a way of recruiting desperately needed new students, the professor wrote. Bringing in new faculty or guest speakers with conservative or centrist political perspectives is considered risky and out of the question at the moment. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't our education of higher learning institutions supposed to present diverse viewpoints to promote their students actually being able to do things like think? Fear and self-censorship is pervasive among Evergreen faculty, especially under the existing budget crisis. See, this is like the Red Guard in China in the late 1960s under Chairman Mao. They had to purge everything that wasn't right down the party line. Peros is the only remaining Evergreen educator on Heterodox Academy, an advocacy group of professors to counteract narrowing of viewpoints on college campuses, and the practicing veterinarian who teaches biological and environmental sciences is offering a new class this fall to help change that. His class is called Liberal Education in the College Bubble, Crossing the Political and Cultural Divide. Sounds worse than crossing the Rubicon. He's using the college as a case study to show students how higher education deals with issues of political diversity, free speech, freedom of thought, and censorship. Well, there is no free speech. There is no freedom of thought. His course description includes a trigger warning. I love those. Students who require ideological safe spaces where particular viewpoints are considered offensive may want to seek a different program. Yeah, so in other words, if you want to be made to think, don't come into my classroom. God. He hopes the class, which is full despite low enrollment overall, will show how Evergreen students are more open to diverse viewpoints than they have been portrayed. Yeah, I would say tossing all the white students off campus for a day. How do you equate that with being inclusive? Huh? Riddle me that. The professor also pointed out that an independent external review panel exonerated the president and administrators while blaming Evergreen's woes on Brett Weinstein and alt-right agitators, which prompted one journalist to ask, who will the Evergreen mob target next? Exactly. Even though Evergreen is the only four-year college in the state of Washington to see a decrease in applications, the school's president, George Bridges, instead of pointing to the race-based protest as the problem, said, it is really complex and not attributable to any one factor. Yeah. Well, there's an open-minded viewpoint. In May, to prepare for the drop in enrollment, Evergreen cut $6 million out of its budget, a little over 10% of the total, and laid off 20 faculty and staff, as well as not filling 19 vacant staff positions, according to the Seattle Times. Good. Evergreen is the state's smallest public college, but over the past 5 years has seen a drop of 1,000 students. In addition to the negative publicity and unsafe environment on campus, some students have said the college was not rigorous enough as a reason for leaving. Yeah. Yeah. Rather than just telling the white people they have to leave the campus for the, they should take them out and shoot them. That's their viewpoint. God, I'm telling you know, and hey, here comes your next generation. Those of you of a certain age, these are the kids you're going to be relying on to fund your Social Security. There's a feeling of confidence for you, right? Ay, ay, ay. 6:29 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Annie's ready to go in the news center, and I'm right back with the last half of the bonus hour here on the penultimate workday of the week on WORD. Welcome back. Great to have you along. 6:38, 22 before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show. So things may be trending downward rapidly for the folks at Evergreen State College as they push their progressive agenda. But that doesn't mean that other ivory towers of academia are giving up that easily. Case in point, Penn State University. A new math course at Penn State this semester has a focus on Hillary Clinton's, quote, strong character, end quote. Mm-hmm. According to a report from Campus Reform, a new math course at Penn State focuses on everything besides math. Professor Mark Fabry's Finite Mathematics course covers everything from Hillary Clinton's strong character to the cultural intolerance to President Lyndon Baines Johnson's Clean Water Act. On the Penn State website, Fabry's course is described as an introduction to logic, sets, probability. But students who took Fabry's new course last spring say the course is focused on other topics. In one section of the document, Fabry asked students to explain why the following statement is incorrect. Quote, all those who enjoy religious freedom promote cultural toleration. Why is that statement incorrect? That portion of the document accompanied by a scholarly criticism of imperialism, because we know, of course, that it's a bad thing. A Penn State spokesperson said they are working to ensure that Fabry maintains his academic freedom. Right. Of course, if his academic freedom consisted of a course that, say, stressed the strong character of Donald J. Trump, you think then they would be encouraging that he maintain his academic freedom? The spokesperson encouraged any student who believes that an instructor has acted beyond the limits of academic freedom to consult the policies and procedures in place for seeking a faculty conference and mediation. Aha, a meeting of the minds. A Rate My Professor review of Professor Fabry seems to suggest he has a history of getting somewhat off topic in his math courses. Hated his class, one former student wrote. He mumbled and went off on tangents to talk about things that were completely irrelevant. Sounds like exactly the kind of guy that you want on the campus of the Nittany Lions. Meantime, we continue to see the left pushing even further towards tyranny, towards Orwellian newspeak, towards shutting up anybody that wants to say anything with which they don't believe. Latest case in point, this one comes from our friends the Brits. In the UK, here's the headline, police tell citizens to report offensive comments even if they are not hate crimes. A police force in the UK has been on the receiving end of criticism after authorities encouraged citizens to report offensive comments even if they don't rise to the level of so-called hate crimes. Quote, in addition to reporting hate crime, please report non-crime hate incidents, which can include things like offensive or insulting comments online, in person, or in writing. Hate will not be tolerated in South Yorkshire. Report it and put a stop to it, says the tweet from the South Yorkshire Police. What if I find their tweet to be offensive or insulting? Can I report them for a hate crime? An information page was also posted in a follow-up tweet that says, the police can only prosecute when the law is broken, but we also want to know about non-crime hate incidents. These incidents may not be criminal offenses, but often can feel like a crime to those affected and can sometimes escalate to crimes. Mm-hmm. So if you're not thinking right, then you should be reported to the South Yorkshire Police. The tweet prompted thousands of responses because it specifically tells people to report incidents that are not even crimes. This hadn't been thought properly through at all. I can imagine your frontline officers, already overworked, reading that tweet and staring miserably at their workload on the computer, desperately trying to remember why they took this job in the first place. What exactly did you plan to do about these non-crime incidents, and with what authority will you do it? Ask another. Numerous people drew attention to the absurd situation of a country that has a massive problem with Muslim grooming gangs abusing children, including in Sheffield and Rotherham, which are in South Yorkshire, while police forces waste their time with offensive comments on the internet. Indeed, there are currently 98 investigations into the response of South Yorkshire police to grooming gangs in Rotherham, examining whether there was potential misconduct by officers. The mere fact that police resources are being devoted to vague and inconsequential incidents that don't rise to the level of a hate crime, while the country suffers a violent crime surge, is also ludicrous. Figures released in July show that only 9% of crimes end with suspects being charged or summoned in England and Wales. 9%. In some areas of the country, police are advising citizens they will stop investigating low-level crimes. Now, what kind of low-level crimes, you're wondering? Good question. Car crime, shoplifting, criminal damage. No investigation of those due to budget cuts. Meanwhile, over 3,000 people in the UK are arrested every year under Section 127 of the Communications Act of 2003, which makes it illegal to intentionally cause annoyance, inconvenience, or needless anxiety to another. Yeah, said the chief of police, George Orwell. 646, 14 before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show.
Now back to our regularly scheduled program.
Thank you. 6:51, 9 before 7 o'clock here on the Bobby Mac Show. One of my favorite writers is Victor Davis Hanson. He is a contributor at NRO, National Review Online, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution out in California, and author most recently of The Second World Wars, How the First Global Conflict Was Fought and Won. He's a brilliant guy. And it's amazing he's been able to survive in California because he is, of course, a conservative. His latest offering is entitled, Is Chaos an Impeachable Offense? Victor Davis Hanson writes, Trump is destabilizing the status quo, as he promised to do. The keepers of the status quo cry foul. Until 2017, there were certain political assumptions that most people no longer really believed, but also preferred not to question. Given the likely animus from the so-called bipartisan establishment, a naked entity, which by convention we all agreed was splendidly clothed. In other words, the emperor has no clothes. China could freely cheat on trade. The U.S. could take the commercial hit. Because one day its misbegotten riches would force liberalization and thereby make China a member in good standing of the family of democratic nations. Well, after 40 years, we're still waiting on the promised democratic transformation at great cost to the industrial and manufacturing heartland of the United States. NATO member nations always would promise, indeed swear, they would meet their military spending commitments, even as they had no intention at all of doing so. Well, fine, we shrugged. Since World War II, it has been the duty of the U.S. to lead and protect the West. What other nation had America's inexhaustible wealth and power to subsidize rich socialist democracies and commensurate unconcern with its own insidiously hollowed out industrial interior? Accordingly, American presidents would lecture NATO about their promised obligations and meanwhile would expect public nods and private snickers. In New York and Washington corridor, the gospel was never to question the changing role or funding of NATO, but always to utter, NATO is the linchpin of the West. End of discussion. The Palestinians will always remain refugees in a way that's similar, contemporaneously displaced people who were also forced out of their homelands. Prussians, Jews of the Middle East, or Volga Germans no longer have refugee status after more than 70 years. A chaotic Trump recently accepted reality and quit funding the United Nations relief organization that supposedly attends to refugees who in reality are a political construct deemed useful for demonizing Israel around the world. Jerusalem has long been privately accepted as both the historic and natural capital of Israel, and it's now far more open and freer than it was prior to 1967. But we were not supposed to say that given fears of Panistilia, a Palestinian peak, or terror attacks are inflaming the Middle East. Trump, in his supposedly reckless fashion, simply moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, and other nations strangely are now beginning to follow. Blocking the construction of the Keystone Pipeline and the opening of the Anwar oil fields to energy development had become iconic hashtag resistance causes. We knew the pipeline would streamline energy transference and likely take the burden off the more dangerous rail and truck transportation, and that Anwar would help to achieve U.S. energy independence or at least increase national wealth. So now both are under construction and development. The nation yawns its assent. The ensuing reaction to all of this, we are left only with Trump did it, and should therefore he be impeached, declared insane, sued, forced to resign, or face an intervention from loyal patriot aides because of his impulsiveness and lack of first principles that have given us the above status quo. Even the recent anonymous New York Times op-ed author offered no real explanations of what exactly Trump has done wrong that would warrant anti-democratic removal, other than to concede that Trump has done things that most felt were long overdue. And he made changes in a rude and uncouth manner that the establishment did not like, just as a nude emperor in invisible clothes does not like it when an outsider observes he's naked. Victor Davis Hanson. See you tomorrow for the Friday free-for-all. God bless.
Back home, huh?
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter,
every time we say goodbye.
What?
Goodbye.
You say goodbye, and I say hello.
Hello, I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, our feet are saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye to you.
Goodbye.
Concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.